It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Starts now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Fan Upstate Spectacular, as always, to have you here with us. I am Rob Brown, the great Milonzo on the other side of the metaphorical glass. He's on the ones and twos rocking the show today and every day. Hope that you're well. Hope that you're having a lovely day. Hope that your week is everything that you'd hoped it would be. Lulu Cast into the Greenville News coming up in an hour to talk South Carolina Gamecock football with us, coming off of obviously an enormous win over the Texas A&M Aggies last weekend. We will talk to her about the lessons learned and how they will be carried forward into a clash of the Titans, two of the hottest teams in college football, two of the hottest teams in the Southeastern Conference, doing battle this Saturday in Nashville, Tennessee, when the Vanderbilt Commodores welcome the Gamecocks of South Carolina into Commodore Stadium to take on the Anchors Down folks. Looking forward to that. We'll talk to Lulu Kesson about that at 8 o'clock. At 8:40, we will replay for you our interview we did earlier this week with the legendary Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast. Of course, Rashad got the opportunity on Monday as he left yesterday to head over to Deutschland, over to Germany, where the Cats will take on the G-Men. That is part of our water cooler cheat sheet coming up here in just a minute. We will replay our interview with Rashad from earlier in the week for you Panther fans that tune in weekly to hear Rashad Beard. Then at 9 o'clock, Hayton S. Mario from the BetQL Network, executive producer of BetMGM tonight, NBA and NFL analyst for the BetQL Network, will join us to talk NFL football. And then at 9:20, Fight Club with the great Milonzo, and no shortage of stuff to talk about, because while I have not gotten to watch the last episode of AEW Dynamite yet, I heard it slapped hard. So we're going to talk about that. We had Crown Jewel this past weekend. We've got to get into a little bit as well. Fight Club, 9:20. Make sure you are there if you're a fan of the professional wrestling, because we got a lot of it to talk about. Yada, yada, yada. It's 7 o'clock in the morning. You have 57 minutes on the dot to get your behind into the office, sit behind that desk, respond to those emails, and get ready to rock and roll through another day at the office. But of course, we all know what you're looking forward to. You're looking forward to getting in there, to taking that first break, walking down the hallway, going to the water cooler, pulling yourself a nice cold glass of ice water, and talking sports. And if you're going to do that, you need this. It's the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet Top 3 Sports Stories that you need to know before you get to the office this morning and start talking sports with your coworkers. Let's dive right in. Let's go with item numero uno. Announced yesterday, not a shock at all. That's a big-ass water cooler.
No, when you put it in for the first time, you know, there's air in it, and it just, yeah.
Got to get the bubbles out. Get the bubbles out. Item number one. Let's start in the National Football League. We got three quarterback stories that are all going to get piled in together. And item number one, we start with this one. Dak Prescott, the starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, going to be out for some length of time. Why? Because, well, we all know he suffered a leg injury this past weekend in a loss to the Atlanta Falcons. Dak Prescott is going to be sat down for a minute. And he's going to be sat down for a minute because not just a tendon injury, but a tendon injury that includes the tendon ripping clean off the bone. Dak Prescott has not yet been sent to the injured reserve, which of course means that he would be obligated to miss 4 games, but sent to the injured reserve, potentially changing the season. Cooper Rush is going to step in. Cooper Rush is actually 5-1 as the Dallas Cowboys starter. The only way that this story gets more intriguing is if Cooper Rush comes in and the offense clicks. Now, I don't think all the problems with the Dallas Cowboys are Dak Prescott. I think he's part of it, but I don't think he's the only problem. I think they got a lot more and a lot bigger problems than just Dak Prescott. So if Cooper Rush comes in and he handles the business and the Cowboys win a couple of games, maybe we have a little bit more drama down to the Big D. Quarterback story number two in item number one. Deshaun Watson was the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. Shut down for the year, obviously, after he suffered a torn Achilles that caused him to be removed. Of course, Jameis Winston came in, and wouldn't you know it, the Cleveland Browns, all they did was beat the Baltimore Ravens, one of the three shortest odds to make and win the Super Bowl this year. Doesn't matter. Jameis came in, Jabu got the dub, and the GM of the Cleveland Browns, Andrew Berry, yesterday in a press conference was asked, are you guys ready to commit to Deshaun Watson long term? He would not answer it, positively or negatively. Would not respond to the question. Basically said, we're not going to say anything until we make sure that he's healthy. We're not going to say anything until he's fully recovered. And don't get me wrong, I'm good with that. I'm good with that. But we all know, however, that even if that's true, if the answer to that question was yes, if Deshaun Watson was playing good football, the answer would be yes. So, I don't know. It shouldn't be shocking to anybody, but it is intriguing. And finally, quarterback story number three, ladies and gentlemen, this Sunday, 9:30 a.m. live from Deutschland. The Carolina Panthers will take on the New York Football Giants in a clash of the Titans. Might be the last winnable game for the Carolina Panthers. We can discuss and debate that later on in the show. But Bryce Young will get another start at QB1. It was interesting because when we played you the audio earlier this week, after the win over the New Orleans Saints, the win in which Bryce Young orchestrated two different come-from-behind scoring drives, including the drive that scored the game-winning touchdown over our New Orleans Saints. Immediately in the press conference, Dave Canales was asked, hey, are you ready to commit to BY as QB1? And Dave wouldn't say yes. Didn't say no. Well, actually did say no. He said, I'm not committing to him yet. We got to look at the tape. We got to get the data, the numbers. We got to put it all down on the spreadsheet, see what we see before we make that decision. I told you on Monday, I genuinely thought that that was an acknowledgement or an admittance that they were shopping Bryce Young, or at least were willing to take phone calls. And according to reports, including from Adam Schefter, Carolina Panthers received at least 2 phone calls from people inquiring about the availability of Bryce Young. Now, I'll say here what I said to Rashad. We'll play the interview again at 8:40 this morning. I'll say here what I said to Rashad on Monday when this conversation came up. Do I think that they were willing to listen to trade offers from Bryce Young? Yes. Yes, I do. I think they were willing to listen to offers, but I think any team would be willing to listen to offers to any player because, as the million-dollar man Ted DiBiase once famously said, everybody's got a price. It's like a C-plus Ted DiBiase.
It wasn't bad, but at least you had the motions down.
Yeah. I mean, you got to helps. You got to lean it. I heard Paul Heyman say yesterday, you want to know the difference between a good wrestler and a great wrestler? Good wrestlers look up. When they act, when they emote, they look up. Why? So that the people in the cheap seats can see their faces and feel connected to them. I thought, dang, that's brilliant. Never thought of that before. Maybe that's why my professional wrestling career didn't take off. Because when I get sad, I look down.
There's still time.
I am 1-0. I am undefeated in tag team wrestling. It's true. So, BY is going to get the start. I think they listened to offers, but I also think that they weren't going to be like, yeah, 7th round pick's good enough for a guy that we spent the number 1 overall selection for. No. Somebody was going to have to call in so desperate that they threw out like a third and a seventh or something for BY before that team would have been interested in it. Nobody made that move. BY is still a Carolina Panther and a Carolina Panther that will be starting at quarterback against the Giants. I don't care what you say. I'm pulling for the guy. I am. I'm pulling for him on Sunday. I think you've started to. Has Bryce Young not looked like a different cat the last 2 weeks? Or is it just me being overly optimistic?
I think it's about competition more so than anything. He hasn't had to deal with a certain level of defense, so it's made him look better.
It's not unfair.
And who's rooting against him? I want him to succeed. I just don't know that he's capable.
The internet at large, I think, is the answer. The internet at large, I think. You find a story on Reddit about Bryce Young, and it's like 80% of the posts in there are like, screw this cat. We should have traded him. He can't do it. Yada, yada. It's just a little disappointing. A little disappointing, but 'tis what it is. The internet's a terrible place, and everyone there is bad.
Just fandom. I mean, I don't know that that's anything unusual from any other team.
The toxicity with which BY has been attacked over the years is special. Special.
Cleveland fans would beg to differ.
Yeah, well, Cleveland fans are dumb. You ran Johnny Football and Bake Show up out of there. So maybe not that. Hey, item number two. Is this a story for the water cooler cheat sheet? You're damn right it is. 6:30 p.m. coverage starts 7 o'clock. First pitch is the Savannah Bananas are on the road. Where? Doug Kingsmore Stadium in lovely Clemson, South Carolina. The number 4 in the nation in the preseason poll. Clemson Tigers are playing, not baseball tonight, people. Not baseball. Playing banana ball tonight. The Savannah Bananas will be facing off against the Clemson University baseball team. Playing banana ball. A fan vote took place to select starters from across the 3 Banana League teams. The Bananas, the Party Animals, and the Firefighters. The all-stars from those 3 teams will suit up as the Bananas tonight to take on the Clemson Tiger baseball team, ranked number 4 in the country in preseason rankings. It'll be the first official banana ball game for the Clemson Tigers, and it is on their home turf again tonight at Clemson Doug Kingsmore Stadium. That game will be coverage at 6:30, first pitch at 7, and it will be available to be streamed for free on the Banana Ball YouTube channel. You can go search that game on YouTube tonight and watch it live. They will have the game live highlights from it, et cetera, et cetera. I don't care what you say. What a fun way to get introduced to your 2024-2025 Clemson Tiger baseball team. Then watch him have a little fun playing a little nanner ball. I love this. I love it. I got to tell you right now, I put it on the wife and I's social calendar. I'm like, do not make plans on Thursday night. Ordinarily Thursday night, big date night in the Myers-Brown household. Big date night for us. Go out, get some nice wine. There's a young lady that plays piano down the road from us. We go listen to her tickle the ivories, as they say, while we sip on a little Cabernet Sauvignon or Pinot Noir. Big fan. Not tonight. We're staying home. We're watching Banana Ball. She hates the Clemson Tigers, but she wants to watch this one because the Bananas are coming to town. And I'm going to tell you right now, that to me is why before the season, I told you guys, in the NIL world, building the brand is now every bit as important as roster construction in your football team. If you want to be a great football team, you've got to not only put together a great football roster, and there's more to that now than just go get the best players. It used to be just go get the best players. Now it's go get the best players. It got the right attitude, whatever. I got some sound from Kurt Cignetti we're going to play for you a little later in the show about that. It used to be about, hey, go get the best players. Now it's go get the best players with the best mentality and the best this and the best that fit in, and they want to be here and yada, yada, yada. But it's about building the brand as well. It's about making your school look like a place that people want to be. This is why I said South Carolina's win over the Texas A&M Aggies this weekend was a program-defining moment. Not because of the win. It helped, for sure. It was a program-defining moment because I was watching on TV and I went, damn, this is a show. The lights, the music, the lasers. It's great. Put on a show. It looked like a place that a young, formidable, formative 18-year-old Rob Brown making a decision about where he wanted to go advance his career studies would have gone, oh, that place, their football stadium's a damn nightclub. I'm in. This looks incredible. Clemson has an opportunity on the baseball diamond to do that tonight. Have fun. Put on a show alongside the showman of showmans when it comes to football, to baseball teams, the Savannah Bananas. Yeah, I'm watching. There's nothing else I'm doing tonight but watching Los Tigres versus whatever bananas is in Spanish. We'll see.
I'm guessing it's probably bananas, but I could be wrong.
How do you say bananas in Spanish? I feel like my Spanish teacher, whose name was not a joke, Mr. Rogers, would be very upset with me. My Spanish teacher, named Mr. Rogers, was French.
Did he not have like a Spanish name?
No, his name was Mr. Rogers.
Okay.
Yes, his Spanish name was Señor Rogers.
Okay, because my...
But he was French! Right, a French accent!
My French teacher was Madame Noir.
I mean, that's French. I had missed... Sorry, Señor Rogers.
Her last name was Black, but Black in French is Noir.
Yeah, I think Rogers in Spanish is just Rogers. So
probably.
He was just,
okay.
Señor Rogers.
So what are bananas in Spanish?
Platanos.
Ah, okay.
Platanos. Like plantains, but in Spanish.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
So it's Clemson Los Tigres v. Savannah Platanos. Learn something new today. Apparently, colloquially, it is also La Banana. Kind of nailed that. Okay, item number three on the water cooler cheat sheet. I'm going to be real honest. I didn't know where to go with this. Because none of you give a damn about the L.A. Lakers, but I'm going to give them to you anyway. 114-131, John Morant and the Grizz beat the absolute dog out of the Lakers last night. John Morant's a dog, dude. He's a dude. He's fun to watch play. I hope he keeps his head on straight this year and doesn't get suspended for half season again for being an idiot because he's fun as hell to watch play basketball. Dig this. Last night, LeBron James scored 39 points. 15 of 24 from the floor, 6-11 from deep, 3 of 4 from the charity stripe, had 7 boards, 6 assists, and a steal to go as well. No one else on the Lakers team scored more than 19. Austin Reeves had 19, 15 off the bench for Cam Reddish. Collectively, LeBron James, 15 of 24. The rest of the team was like 15 of 42. LeBron James by himself made as many shots as the rest of the Lakers combined. J.J. Redick last night lost his ever-loving mind. I got some audio from his press conference that is hysterical to me. Because I got to tell you, I think the Lakers thought it was going to be smooth sailing. And J.J.'s breaking down already. We are 9 games into the season. And my man's losing it. Hey, speaking of 9 games in, the Cavs are 9-0, Lonzo. They are the only undefeated 9-0 team. They are the first Cavaliers squad ever to get to 9-0, and they're doing it all with a rookie head coach. No rookie head coach has ever gone 9-0. That's a fun team. We're going to talk about them, too. We got some basketball to get to. We got Lulu Kesson coming up in about 42 minutes. Stick around. Don't go anywhere. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It's the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues. It's the Fan Upstate. So, I told you I had some Kurt Cignetti audio for you. Big Kurt Cignetti fan. And I'll tell you, I think the rest of college football can learn a lot from Kurt Cignetti. Now, I do think it is fair to ask the question, is Indiana for real or are they a mirage? And I've been asked that question on probably two or three different other shows that I have been interviewed on over the past couple of weeks. And the reason why is, and I told you this, the question mark about Clemson coming into that game against Louisville. And I will acknowledge, I got fooled. And I'm okay. Maybe it was because I was, you know, optimistic. I want this team to win. I want this team to win because I get paid when they do. The question about Clemson coming into this Louisville game was, can they get trapped or are they even actually that good, because the level of opponent they had played wasn't super high. And I think it is very fair to ask the same question about the Hoosiers. They don't really have any big signature wins that you can lean on and say, clearly, this team is good. They don't really have that game even until they play Ohio State. And we will learn very rapidly. Now, I have said one thing. And this is an approach that I take when I am looking at football teams like Indiana, like Clemson. I think you have to balance performance statistics against who those statistics are being racked up against. I think you have to balance what those statistics say nationally about your program against the types of teams that you have played nationally. Clemson had good offensive metrics. Good offensive. Not great, not top 10, but good offensive metrics. You know, 15, 20, 25, depending on what stats you were looking at. Indiana's defense has elite metrics. Indiana's defense, specifically their rush defense, have elite metrics. I mean, very good metrics. Their rush defense is inside of the top 10 on almost everything. In fact, I think the only non-top 10 defensive rush metric that they have is touchdown surrendered. I think they're like 13, 14, somewhere in that range. Everything else top 10. Number of them top 5. Yardage allowed top 5. There's something to be said for that. So how did Kurt Cignetti go to a place that is most certainly not known for its football prowess and have Indiana inside the top 10 in the inaugural 12-team playoff rankings? Kurt Cignetti said it's about the team that you build. So how do you build that team, Indiana Hoosier head coach Kurt Cignetti? Since the implementation of name, image, and likeness, since the implementation of the transfer portal, I have said one thing, maybe more than anything else. Why are coaches not fans of NIL in the transfer portal? It's not because they're anti-player empowerment. It's not because they don't want their players to have nice things. Again, for those of you that have been fortunate enough to take a tour of the facilities of your favorite school, Clemson, South Carolina, or anybody else, you will notice that these players could live their entire life inside those facilities. They are nice. We've taken you backstage at Clemson before during Clemson Media Days. We've showed them to you. The practice facility is the most comfortable place I've ever been. The locker room is a damn luxury resort. They got a whole gaming area, golf simulator, bowling alley, foosball, video games, all kinds of stuff. The food that they get is better than I cook myself, and y'all, I can cook a little bit. They don't have an issue with players having nice things. The problem is they want those things to lure in a player, and then they want that player locked in, right? They want that player locked in. And I said, when NIL and Portal came out, and I've said it a million times since then, I'm probably annoying some of you that have been with us the whole time in the Armada. The reason coaches are upset is because their job just got more difficult. Their job just got tougher. Their job just became more difficult. Because now you got to recruit a kid twice. You got to recruit them to your school, whether it's out of the portal or out of high school. And then You have to, as long as they are a member of your program, you have to continue recruiting them to get them to stay. This is why I appreciate what Kurt Cignetti said at the end of that clip. He said, I'm looking at what is their why. I want to know what their why is. Is their why NIL? And again, can you fault a kid, hypothetically? Can you fault a kid who maybe came out of a poor neighborhood where mom and two or three siblings are all living in a one-bedroom apartment? And they're all sharing a floor, right? They're eating rice every night. Can you fault that kid when he gets the opportunity to go make some damn money to take care of his family for wanting to do that? No. No. As I've said a million times, my biggest gripe has been college football seems to be the one place where fans are like, no, I don't want those players to be a lot better than themselves. So Kurt looking around and saying, what's your why? If the why is because you want to get your parents up out of a one-bedroom apartment, you want to get them a nice place. If the why is because you had to walk 3 miles to school just so you could play football every day and you're looking to better your life, hell, maybe you fit in, maybe you don't, right? But if the why is because you want to go to the league, or if the why is because you want to go to journalism school, and this particular school has the best J school in the country, and you can get that scholarly to go to the best J school in the country, whatever the why is, if you address that, now you know what your school needs to do to earn the loyalty from that kid. This has been my point the whole time. College football back in the day, loyalty was a one-way street. These players were expected to be undyingly loyal to a school, to a coach, to a program that had no reason to be loyal back to them. And that's not to say no schools were, but not all of them were. And now if you want kids to stay in your program, you've got to be loyal. You've got to say, we're going to give back to you the way that you're giving to us. And a scholarship in a dorm room ain't it. That ain't it, right? As Robert Griffin pointed out earlier this week, Baylor said that Baylor benefited to the tune of $500 million. $500 million. From Robert Griffin III bringing a Heisman Trophy to the Baylor Bears. $500 million. $500 million. I don't care if Robert Griffin III got 9 master's degrees from Baylor. What he got in return for Baylor is nowhere near even half of what he provided to that school. So how do you make sure kids are loyal? Well, one of the things is you understand them, where they're coming from, what their drive is, and you cater to that. And I got to tell you, Kurt Cignetti looks like he's figured that out. Kurt Cignetti, why does Kurt Cignetti win? Because he's figured out the formula. It's not just that kid's a really good outside linebacker, go recruit him. It's what made him that way. Why is he that way? Why is he the way that he is? What drives him to be that way? Is he doing it because he wants to be rich and famous? Maybe he doesn't fit in here. Is he doing it because he wants to get his mom up out of a one-bedroom apartment? Maybe he does fit in here, but we got to make sure that his NIL deal keeps him happy. Is it because he grew up a lifelong Indiana Hoosier fan and he just wants to put the IU on the side of the helmet? That's a kid we're pretty sure is going to be here 5-6 years. Maybe we go out of our way to get that kid here, right? The point that I've made the whole time is coaches don't like it because it made their job tougher. And if it made their job tougher, Kurt Cignetti's figured out the formula around that. Let's figure out who the hell this kid is and then cater our program to that. I love that clip from Kurt Cignetti. All right, we'll talk some more football when we come back. Lulu Kesson at 8 o'clock. The Rob Brown Show carries on. It's the Fan Upstate.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, this is a vibe. I dig it. Hey, let's do this because we got Lulu Kessin coming up at 8 o'clock, and this is going to be one of the longer segments we have remaining. Let's do the audio blitz, the best sound that we've heard from around the world of sports over the past couple of days, and I've got a handful. I want to start with this. We talked a little bit about back in the water cooler cheat sheet that opens at 7 o'clock hour every day. The LA Lakers fall last night. Not fall. Get smoked by Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies. Well, after the game was over, J.J. Redick took to the podium. He is the head coach of the LA Lakers. And the theory, if you believe it, and just so we're very clear, I do, the theory is that J.J. Redick is the coach of the Los Angeles Lakers because LeBron James is the star and also general manager of the Los Angeles Lakers. J.J. Redick, who, for the record, I like a lot. I like J.J. Redick a lot. I like them as an analyst. I like him as a coach. I think he calls people to the carpet for bad takes. I think he bases his takes on reality, stats, and information. I've always liked him. So I actually am pulling for him as the head coach of the Lakers. His press conference, though, it didn't go right. Okay. He said, hey, you've talked about making sure that you have three or four dudes that are going real hard any given night. And he has. He's talked about it. Can't just have LeBron out there going for 39 points and then nobody else stepping in. And there are some guys on this team I like. I think Lonzo and I are both big Austin Reeves guys. There's some guys that are trying. But Austin Reeves, phenomenal hustle player, not the most talented basketball player on planet Earth. Respectfully. He's very good. But he's not a star. Right? He's in the mix, but he's not a star.
He has moments of fire.
Absolutely. He was giving it to you last night. But outside of that, the Lakers just don't have anybody else. By the way, no Anthony Davis last night. And even when they do have Anthony Davis, let's keep it a buck. There are nights Anthony Davis is out there, but he's not really out there, right? Well, the sound that you heard when asked, how do you address the team to get them there? J.J. Redick said, I just did. And then, before he had even finished his three-word answer, so he took the mic. I don't want to dramatize it, so I'm not going to say he slammed it on the table in front of him, but he set it down with an unnecessary amount of force, and then he got up and left. Just gone. I'm out. No goodbye, no nada. He went, I just did.
Why is this a surprise? This is what I expect from him almost every time. He seems kind of, in my opinion, like a jerk. And maybe he's emulating, copying like Popovich and some of these other guys who don't feel like doing the press conference and pretty upset because he just lost a game and just shut everything down. And it seems like it's okay for some guys and for other guys it's not. You know, part of your job is to get up there and do the interview. Try to be a little bit gracious. I understand being upset because you just lost and not enjoying the questions. Didn't seem like a bad question to me. Some questions are pretty stupid. I thought that was a pretty good question.
I don't have an issue with it. And for the record, the reason I bring it up is twofold. Number one, like I mentioned, I am a fan of J.J. Redick. And I part of the reason I've been a fan of J.J. Redick is because J.J. Redick has been, unlike a lot of other media talking heads, able to address tough situations around the NBA in a way that doesn't resort to hot takes, that doesn't resort to unnecessary drama, that doesn't resort to picking fights with players because they know it's going to get them attention. Right, SAS? You get the point. Part of the reason I was excited to see what J.J. Redick brought to the table as a coach was because J.J. Redick, I think, approaches basketball, approaches sports the way I do. Let's talk about what's wrong. Let's talk about why it's wrong. Let's talk about how it can be fixed. There's no sense in coming in here and farting glitter while we talk sunshine and rainbows. Because talking about the good is fun, but it doesn't help anything. Talking about the good is good for my emotions and my fifis, and don't get me wrong. Liberob the Woke Warrior is concerned about the mental health of the country. And I think focusing on good things is a good thing. But I also think that Rob Brown, the guy who's been involved in competition his entire life, including being involved in one of the most competitive industries that a young man can be involved in, understands that if all you do is talk about the good, you'll never get better. If all you do is just repeatedly do the things that are working and never work on being better at the things that aren't, you're never going to get anywhere. So for JJ to have the media, the voice of the people, say, hey, man, how do you fix this? Head coach of one of the most famous and prominent franchises in American sports. How do you make this better? And he just says, no, bleep this, I'm out, and walks away. It looks as if, whether it's true or not, it looks as if the head coach of the Lakers is having a meltdown with no answers.
This is very disappointing because it looks like there's not going to be a repeat of the midseason tournament, and they're not going to get to raise another banner.
I mean,
so disappointed.
I don't give a damn. I love the midseason tournament. I love the midseason tournament. I think it's great.
Have they announced when which games matter?
Yeah, the schedule's already out for the midseason tournament. Schedule was built into the NBA season.
Like it was last year.
Right.
That's why I was asking what games matter and what games don't, because they pick and choose like they did last year.
This is also true. All right, let's stay with basketball here for just a minute. I got two clips for you here. You know, sometimes in order to be good in one spot, you got to sacrifice in another. Things aren't going great for the Detroit Pistons. They've had two games this week. One of them, Brooklyn, New York, taking on the Knicks. The other one was last night in Charlotte, North Carolina, taking on the Buzz. I want to start with earlier this week. Play audio. It's not going to make sense until I tell you at the end what it is. What the hell was that, Rob? I'm glad you asked, Alonzo.
Yeah, because I'm thoroughly confused and have no idea what's going on.
That was the sound of the New York City subway. Well, why are you playing that, Rob? Here's why. Because the Detroit Pistons were in New York City to take on the Knickerbockers. You know what else was happening earlier this week in New York City? The New York City Marathon. One of the most famous events in the world. An event that has thousands of people from around America and the globe come to run a marathon through the world's most famous city.
The first I've heard of it.
The New York Marathon?
All right. Can I continue?
Yes, please do.
This is the first I've heard of it that it happened or was happening because people don't talk about it.
Sure, I'm not saying it's on SportsCenter.
Right.
But you know of it.
I've heard of it before.
It's arguably outside of the Olympics themselves.
So I'm not aware of how much more traffic it brings other than, you know, people running on the street.
You're not the only one. The other people who have never heard about how much traffic it brings and the amount of people on the street, which, by the way, it shuts the city down because there are thousands of people who participate in this event. The other people who have not heard about it are the people who are in charge of travel. You heard the sounds of the New York City subway system, Lonzo. The sounds of the people that were talking were the Detroit Pistons, because that team full of 6'9", 10", 11-inch tall monsters all had to squeeze their big asses on the subway to get to the game because the Pistons didn't know what was happening. So the team had to squeeze onto a subway car and take the subway to get to MSG.
All right, for those of us who've only seen subways on TV and have no idea what it's like, have you actually been on a subway?
Many times.
All right, so what's the headroom like in a subway?
Inside the car, it's not that bad. But the door to get in the New York City subway, if you're 6'9", it's probably not comfortable.
Yeah, but you're also used to that because most doors are not built to let
you in. The Detroit Pistons aren't used to having to get on the subway.
How would they normally get to the building?
Buses, okay. Limousines.
I doubt they arrive in limousines.
They're not their own SUVs.
Okay.
They're not strapped in the subway. And then the Pistons came down to Charlotte, and this happened. Nope, that's the wrong clip. I played the wrong one. Let me try that again. Then they came down to Charlotte, and this happened. The Charlotte Hornets knock off the Detroit Pistons 108-107, and they do so because Brandon Miller, who had an opportunity at a wide-open three to end the game and missed it. Do you know what he did? Cats out there, young ones. Listen to Uncle Rob, big basketball guy over here. Follow your shots. Brandon Miller shot that three, and what did he do? Did he drop back to half court and admire the beaut that he just put up? No. He released that ball. He crashed the rim. The ball took a high bounce. The Pistons didn't box out. So Brandon Miller, the Alabama Crimson Tider, skied, went up, got it, put it back in, wins the game. Y'all, when you drafted this guy, I told you Brandon Miller's gonna be a star in the NBA. And there you had it last night. My dude hitting the game winner. Texter says, yes, Brandon Miller. Yes, indeed. That was spectacular. Was spectacular. Bravo, well done. Kurt Cignetti. We played a little audio from him. Let's play one more. Kurt Cignetti. Now, this is dated audio. This goes back to Big Ten Media Days. You'll remember Big Ten Media Days. You had Michigan State's coach that didn't know where the hell he was. You had all this. Kurt Cignetti took to the mic. Indiana predicted to come second to last in an 18-team conference. And Lonzo, he said this. Dude, he said, I'm not calling my shot, but I've been picked to finish last or second to last in the conference two times. One of those times, I won the damn conference. The other time, I played for it and lost to a real good team, but I was in the game. Indiana's 9-0. The Hoosiers are good. They're good. Now, are they going to be able to stand up to the Buckeyes? You know how I know they're good, Lonzo? Who's Indiana play before they play Ohio State? You know off the top of your head? No. Nobody does. I don't know. And I've been talking about them for two segments today.
I'm going to guess Illinois.
I don't even know. Let's go find out. Why not? I should know. I don't know. I've been talking about it for a week and a half on different shows around the country. Before they get to Ohio State, Lonzo, here's how I know Indiana's actually good and America has finally come around and believe that Indiana's good. Because this Saturday, Lonzo, they got Michigan and nobody's talking about it. Nobody's talking about it. We're talking Kurt Cignetti. We're talking the Hoosiers. And nobody gives a damn that they're playing Big Blue. Now, Michigan's not Michigan from last year. Michigan's not even, frankly, that good this year. In fact, quite the opposite. Michigan's a pedestrian at best. They're 5-4. They may finish 6-6 coming off a natty. I think they're fine with it. This is a team that just got drummed by Oregon. They lost to Illinois. They lost to Washington. They got smoked by Texas back in week two. It's still a proud program. Still a program with some dogs over there. Indiana's got Michigan this weekend, and nobody's talking about it. We're all dialed in for 2 weeks down the road when the Hoosiers take on the Buckeyes. You don't do that with teams that aren't good. When we were talking about Clemson last week, we weren't saying, hey, Clemson's got Pittsburgh a couple of weeks away. That's the last ranked team they got to play this year. They're not looking at that team and saying, uh-oh, Clemson's got to be ready for the Pitt Panthers. We said, Louisville's coming to the house. Is it a trap game? Do they expose Clemson? Do they this? Do they that? Do they this? Do they that? And none of that happened. With Indiana, we're not talking about them playing the reigning, defending, undisputed college football national champions, my friends. We are talking about the Hoosiers playing the number two team in the country 2 weeks from now. This team's fun. This is what college football's about, my dudes, my dudettes. Texter said, when the hell did Indiana win the conference? Well, he's talking about his days back when he was the head coach at JMU. And I know it's not the same.
What's JMU?
That would be James Madison University.
What level of football do they play?
Not Big Ten football, sure. Mm-hmm. And nobody is sitting here saying it's the same thing. But he did take over a real bad JMU squad, and they were real good when he left. And the formula seems to be working. I am all on board with the Hoosiers. Big fan. Lulu Kasten from the Greenville News Talk South Carolina Gamecocks. I'm on board with Shane O and the Cox. We'll talk about that with Lulu Kasten after Lonzo seduces you with this sports flash.
Yeah, I'm just here so I don't get fined. The Kansas City Chiefs said the injury sustained by quarterback Patrick Mahomes in Monday night's win over Tampa was a rolled ankle. Mahomes described the ankle as sore, but said he was able to move around comfortably. Head coach Andy Reid said the Chiefs don't plan on putting limitations on Mahomes at this point. Four Cleveland Cavaliers starters and a pair of reserves scored in double digits in a 131-122 win over the New Orleans Pelicans last night. The Cavs are a perfect 9-0, the best start in the history of the franchise. Rookie head coach Kevin Atkinson also becomes the first head coach in NBA history to reach 9-0 in their debut season. I don't know if you knew this, but that's pretty good. Tune in Saturday at 12:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Wofford Terriers. It's Furman versus Wofford right here on your home for Paladins football. It's us. It's right here. It's the Fan. Upstate.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.